So as we continue our sermon series of Genesis, the thing I first want to mention is that in the YouVersion, in the Bible app, is the PowerPoint and the links to the Right Now Media. And today's message is called, It's Going to Rain. Now, I first saw the forecast earlier this week, and it said it was going to rain. And I thought, how unique if my title is, It's Going to Rain, and it rains, maybe we should all bring a canoe. But it didn't rain, it's beautiful, but I think you kind of know where we're going with this story, right? To the ark. So let's just pause as we just pray here first. Heavenly Father, right now we just ask for your presence. We know you are here where two or three are gathered, but Lord, I pray that we would sense your presence and allow your Holy Spirit to search us as we look into this beautiful story of the ark. A lot of times it can be perceived in one way, but Lord, we actually see your love and grace and mercy in this story. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would guide us as we work through this. And Lord, as always, my prayer is that anything that comes from me would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor, but the words that come from you would pierce and penetrate our hearts and minds. And Lord, that we would be challenged today as we look at this story to, in fact, how are we living this faith out today? In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. And so we're picking up kind of where we left off, right? Sin entered the world. And, you know, we really don't talk about sin much or sin and judgment. I mean, we casually talk about it, but the world really doesn't want to talk about it. They're okay if you want to talk about the love of Jesus, but when you start talking about sin and judgment and repentance, well, this is a whole nother story. And that's what we're kind of going to talk about this morning, is we're going to enter into this and look at it, but we want to remember first and foremost that in Romans it tells us that when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And maybe when you read that, you're thinking, okay, Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, why should I have to pay that price? But let me just ask you one simple question. How long does it take for somebody to tell you something that your rebellious heart kicks in, and you're like, I'm not doing that? Huh? I already saw come smiles, and I already know several of you are like me. Oh, you want me to do that? Well, I'll do this. So we see quickly that we are sinners. And we see that when God told him, when sin entered, death follows. And it didn't take long to see that, actually. A lot of times people say, well, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit, but then look how long Adam lived. But sin entered, and it didn't take long for us to see death and the destructions of sin. And honestly, brothers and sisters, this story haunts me and haunts the church, I think. Why do I say this? Well, when Eve gave birth to Cain, who's the oldest, and then Abel, what we see is this verse. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lamb from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Do you see what's happening here? Abel worshiped God. Abel gave the first of his harvest, of his sheep. And this is not a difference of blood, a sacrifice, or grain, because we know later in the Old Testament that both were offerings. This is a heart matter. Matter of fact, we see this when Solomon wrote in Proverbs, the sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with wrong motives. What is happening here is too many times, brothers and sisters, that we actually are Cain. We go to church, we pay our tithe, we volunteer, we give all this stuff, and what we're trying to do is actually bribe God to bless us. There's a distinct difference between Cain and Abel. And we have to ask ourselves, are we in a relationship with God wanting him to do for us? Or are we worshiping Him and wanting to serve Him, and we are giving of ourselves to Him? This is a distinct difference that we need to start looking at as we continue to move through this story. Now, with Cain and Abel, we know that death did come because Cain was dejected, and Cain then asked Abel, "Hey, let's go on out into the field here," and he killed him. And then we see death. And then we see that Cain was marked, and that if anybody were to kill him, they would be avenged seven times. What we see, though, is as Cain gets married and had generations, all of a sudden we see that this path and the descendants of Cain are heading down a very dark path. Because, matter of fact, we see Lamech, who tells his wives, "I just killed a man. I just killed a man. He wounded me, but I killed him." And if Cain is avenged seven, the person that would kill me would be avenged 77. And what we see in that story is the death and destruction of sin continuing down through Cain's ancestors, generations and generations. But then we stop, and all of a sudden we have this beautiful story. Eve gives birth to Seth. And she refers back to Genesis 3, where God promised that one would come that would crush the serpent. And she says, "Seth." And yes, my son is named after this Seth. I did have a lady ask me one time after Seth was born, she's like, "What'd you name him?" And I said, "Seth." And she's like, "Being a pastor, I thought you would have picked a Bible name." Like, how far in Genesis did you go? But the reason I tell you that, not just because it's his 18th birthday today, or no, it's his 8th birthday. Don't believe the bulletin. And he's not 18, he is 8, right? We have a hard time, parents, accepting that they're getting older, we're getting older. Or is it just me? No, I think we're all shocked at how fast time flies. But if you were around when Seth was born, you also know that Glenda and I had gone through a lot. We had already gone to China and had gotten Maggie. We had been wanting to have a biological child, but we realized that that was not in God's plans. And we found ourselves continually in prayer. And so when we found ourselves expecting, Seth was the natural name for me, because in the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, he writes this thing and brings the truth that when Seth was born, then we have this beautiful line that what comes from Seth's heritage and his ancestors and the generations that follow, they became people who worshiped God, to call on God's name. And I just always found that profound, and I love that this is the moment. You have Cain, who killed his brother, and his generations after him just continued down the path of evil. But with Seth, he called on God's name, and he led his ancestors and the next generations to worship God. And there's a reason why I think this is significant. Let's turn to Genesis 6, 1 through 8. And as you can tell, if we're going to do a study in Genesis and we're going to only do 6 weeks, one or two things happening. We're either going to have to do a lot of reading in between the messages, or you guys are willing to sit here for 3 hours while I preach through some of these chapters. I elect we go with reading during the week and let me just stand here for a little bit. Amen? I thought I'd get a big amen on that one. Amen? Amen. All right, let's turn to Genesis 6, 1 through 8. It's page 7 in the Bibles that are in the pew. It's a fascinating section of Scripture, and I will be honest that there are going to be a few things that when we read, there are constant debates on, and I love having those conversations, and I'll be willing to have those conversations afterwards. I will present how I feel about things on how I see it, and you are more than welcome to challenge me on how I see it later. Genesis 6, 1. When the people began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord God said, "My spirit will not put up with the humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth and saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. Check out these next sentence here. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals and the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. All right, so there are a few interesting things that happen right there that we want to talk about. The sons of God and the beautiful women, and other translations, daughters of mankind. One theory is that people say that these are the fallen angels. I've heard that theory. Here's where I kind of disagree with that one, and if you want to take that theory, but here's why I disagree with the fallen angels. When Jesus was challenged by this ridiculous story, if you remember, and it's recorded both in Matthew's gospel and Mark's, they come up to him and they say, okay, Jesus, there was this woman that was married to this man, and so by Jewish customs and law, that if she didn't have any children with her husband and he passed away, then his brother was to marry her. But he died and didn't have any she didn't have any children. So then the third brother, same thing happened. All seven brothers married her and died without her having any children. Then she died. So at the resurrection, whose wife will be, who will she be married to? And this is what Jesus replied, and it's both in Matthew and Mark. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. And so in a sense, a lot of the scholars believe that the angels, whether they're the fallen or in heaven, do not give or take in marriage or have relationships. The other theory, which is the one I would say I subscribe to, is what I just set before you. You have the ancestors of Seth who were worshiping God, considered the sons of God. You have the ancestors of Cain who were leading down this destructive path. And what you have is generations down, all of a sudden, the men from Seth's line looked over and said, well, hello, and walked on over. And we see this throughout the Bible. When the king wanted to destroy the Israelites, what did he do? He moved in amongst the people so they would intermarry. That's why we see in the New Testament that we should not be unequally yoked. That's why I will continue to preach and say to you and challenge you, dating and marriage is not an evangelistic tool. It's not. And I believe this also points, because what we see is that by them entering in, that what we see is it just kept going down to the darkness. Next, we have the 120 years. Now, many think that this is what was set before, that God said, okay, I'll give the mankind 120 years to repent, and Noah will preach. I agree that God gave plenty of time, but I don't necessarily agree with the 120 years was the time from when he said this, because what we see is Noah has three sons, Shem being one. And what we see is, if you continue with the reading, you'll see that after the flood, Shem was 100 years. So I don't necessarily say that God said, okay, I'm going to give them 120 years. I will say, though, God gave plenty of time for them to repent, and we'll get to that in a minute. And then what I say is that I believe that it's the years were reduced because as you continue reading, you will see it's not far after Noah and the flood that his son, that it's 10 generations and they are down to 150 to 120 years. Now, I want to be clear. When we read this, it looks pretty harsh. Like, he's like, I'm done. But you got to understand what God is saying is, I'm grieving because here I created them to be in a relationship with me. And instead of choosing life with me, to have a fellowship, they are choosing death and sin, and it hurts. Parents, when your kids choose to do the wrong thing, do you rejoice or does it hurt? There's an anguish, there's a pain. And just like God is gracious and merciful, we act like, oh, he just, that was it, I'm done, boom. No, we see throughout, even in this time, and we see it in the New Testament, and we see it throughout the whole Old Testament. He does not kick Israel out into Babylon, into being demolished, and all the other things. He continually sends prophets to prophesy, to repent. And we even see it today within 2 Peter 3:9. And the Lord is really not really being slow. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. That's the key. He wants everyone to repent. When Noah was preaching and building the ark, he wanted the people to repent. But what we see is that the extent of human wickedness on earth, everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. We see actually what their eyes are fixed on. Their eyes are fixed on, oh, wow, did you hear about such and such and the great warrior he is? Honestly, brothers and sisters, when you read chapter 6, 1 through 8, you're seeing our culture today. We get so fixated and fascinated about this and that, and look at this person and look at, wow, that we take our eyes off of God. And that's what happened to these people. Look at these warriors. Look what we can do. And we'll see that in our readings as we continue moving. Look what we can do. But Noah found favor. Why did Noah found favor? Because look at the next sentence we see that comes as you continue reading when he was asked to build an ark. Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. I just want to pause and ask you this simple question. How do you respond when God calls you to do something that has never been done for a reason that never had occurred? How do you respond when God calls you to do something that has never been done or you've never experienced? Do you respond? Noah found favor because he said, okay, God. He points to two things that we need to take out of this. Having faith in God and having faith in God's plan. I think many of us will have faith in God, but we're not too sure about his plan. And that's why I continually will say to you and challenge you, to myself and to you, to each one of you, Jesus is not your Savior unless he's Lord of your life. It's not an or, brothers and sisters. It's an and. It's an and. Jesus is your Savior and Lord of your life. We see it with Noah, that God was Lord of him. And we see that he was faithful. A lot of times, though, when we see this story, we want to see it as the children's story. Oh, look at that. How cute. We paint the nurseries. Have you ever seen Tim Hawkins' skit where he's like talking about where they're painting the nursery and he's like, oh, paint the ark here and the animals coming in. Now over there, put the people drowning to death, screaming out. Right? Because that's what the story is. The story is about God giving continual extent of, please turn. Look to me. And eventually people find that when they rejected God, they find darkness. I remember growing up that the little storybooks that my mom had, there was like, they had the red bound and there was like 10 of them. And they had different stories. And I still distinctly remember seeing the picture of Noah's and the ark. And in that one, it has the people just banging on the ark.
I mean, that's what's happening, brothers and sisters. When the door shut, and after 7 days and the waters came, they're banging, "No, open the door, you were right." That's the story. God extended all this time to turn, and now they see it's too late. In March 2012, Stephanie Decker realized that the home that her and her husband had built that took them 9 months, their dream home, as the sirens were going off and she could hear the freight train coming, the tornado, as it was heading to her home, she realized quickly that even being in the basement was not safe as the home was starting to be ripped off. And she took a blanket, threw it over her two children, and threw herself on top of them. As the home was ripped off and the debris, she could feel it just slashing out at her. And she would eventually lose her legs because she laid her life down on her children. And her children were unharmed. Brothers and sisters, there's a storm coming. We just read the story of Noah, and that's a flood of water. But there's one coming of fire. You know, it said earlier in Genesis, we will create man and woman in our image. I just want you to think about this for a minute. Israel wondered, had God forgotten about them when they were in Babylon? Does he remember? And through the prophet Isaiah, he says this, never, never would I forget you. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. Isaiah goes on and says this, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. For those that love God, that choose him and choose to look to him, to accept his son, we see that he runs with the blanket of blood of Jesus Christ to cover those. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I heard an influencer, theologian, try to say, where's the scripture that says that God hates sin but loves the sinner? I would challenge you, I think we're seeing it right before us. You want to see how God feels about sin? He hates it. There's a price that has to be paid, and it was his son. Now, I want to be clear, while sometimes we want to make this feel warm and fuzzy, understand it is everyone who believes. This is not an intellectual belief. This is not just saying, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. And that believe in him is saying that he is Lord and Savior. It's a transformation. It is dying to ourselves, and Christ lives within us. Brothers and sisters, this is where justice and mercy meet. This is where truth and love collide. This is where we finally take and place our trust and confidence in God's plan and love. So how do we live out today? Because I believe we are modern day Noahs. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, as you're turning there, Peter is telling them, look, I'm writing this because I want to stir your thought. I want you to remind you and stimulate you to think about wholesome things. I want to refresh your memory. I want you to think back at what the holy prophet said. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 3. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the time of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. You hear anybody mocking about Jesus returning? They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens, by the word of his command. I'm just settling. God spoke, right? We talked about that last week. Spoke by his word of his command, and the brought forth the earth out of from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. A storm's coming, brothers and sisters. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Look forward to the day of God and hurry it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth, as he promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. That's why I believe we are modern day Noahs. We are called to go forth and share this truth, the love of God. But in this love of God, he does call for a repentant heart, that we humble ourselves before him. And so, I challenge you that we don't worry about cursing darkness, but being light in the dark. And make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And don't act thoughtless, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. What is the Lord calling you to do? Is it something that seems probably uncomfortable? Something that you may never have done before? Maybe to share with somebody that you know will probably mock and ridicule you. I'll just challenge you this. Be faithful. You might be surprised. I want to relieve you of one stress that I think myself as a pastor, I know as missionaries when I talk with them, and I think we tend to take this on ourselves. God is not calling you for results. He's not calling on you on how the person will respond. What he's calling on you to be is faithful. To be faithful. To be faithful in what he's laid on your heart to go talk to that person. To be faithful and to go and do what he's called you to do and follow Noah's lead, having faith in God and his plan. We don't always understand it, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. We don't understand God's plan, but he sees it from a different viewpoint than what we do. Well, I've come to the point where I've spoken what the Lord has laid on my heart. And so here's the reading for the next week, if you so choose to join us and continue working through this. It's in the YouVersion.
app, or you can see that there. But I challenge you, as we work through this, see what God is calling us as we live out this faith. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have as brothers and sisters to gather and worship you. But Lord, I pray that sometimes I fear that we just come out of ritual, out of routine, out of religion, and we find ourselves actually living a life of Cain. That we're actually trying to bribe you into your blessings, trying to bribe you to do the things that we want instead of living a life like we have been called. As Jesus challenged multiple times when asked, what is the greatest commandment? What should we do? And that is to love the Lord thy God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, Christ and others first. Lord, may we repent of that when we allow ourselves to become first and to become the center. And Lord, I pray that as we go forth from here, that we would be challenged, that we will be faithful, knowing that you have a plan for each one of us. Because this world is in darkness. Lord, the storm is coming. The storm is coming. You are returning. May we not get caught up in listening to the mockers and the naysayers of where is he? May we proclaim that it's going to be like a thief in the night. And we realize that today may be the only chance that we have to share that truth. I also pray that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, that the Spirit is stirring in their heart, that they have said, well, I've wanted Jesus as my Savior, but to be Lord, but now the Spirit's really stirring, and I want to be new in Christ. I'm done with the old. I pray that they would say yes and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior and come talk to me or someone else, that they can experience this peace that surpasses all understanding as they step into the newness of life. And Lord, I pray that as we as a community of believers can be a light in this community and in the state and the states around us and in this country and in the world as we send forth. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention. Go in love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.